Episode 42 of 2P Starts Live. He's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We hope you enjoy the show. This is kind of fun for us because we're actually here together for the first time recording a show.
Yeah, that's true. I came out to visit Ray and we've had a nice time hanging out and we're actually doing a live podcast together.
Yes. So. Well, you know, we're close to each other, but we're still in separate rooms just for audio reasons.
Yeah, which is weird to me because it's like, so what
does
it matter?
We're together. We should have our show together.
I know. What does it matter if we're distanced, you know, 1,000 miles distance between us or, you know.
No one will ever care.
100 feet. It's the same thing.
Tim is visiting. He's on vacation right now, I assume.
Yeah, I'd call it that, I guess.
And things have been pretty fun for us. But first, we're going to start off with a little thing that we like to call Ricket Ricket Remix. Each week, I dish out a video game remix favorite of mine, who it's by, and where you can grab it. From the Gerudo Valley song in Zelda Ocarina of Time comes the remix Mamacitas in My Valley by Digidis. Some weird places, but if you'd like to add it to your music collection, I've got a link up right now for those of you listening to the M4A version of the podcast. Otherwise, you can just head on over to ocremix.org and track it down yourself. Well, that'll move us right into our topic of the week.
I guess we can talk about the iPhone as a gaming platform, correct?
Why is that? Why would we ever want to talk about something like
that? Yeah, pretty interesting. While I was up here with Ray, I got myself an iPod Touch, and he got himself an iPhone. And so now we both have this new gaming platform, basically. We've been playing around with it quite a bit. First of all, the device itself, awesome.
It's a little too ridiculous at times.
Yeah, every time we look at something new, we're like, there's no way it really does that. Like,
like someone went through that effort to make, like, I was just like, oh, I'm going to delete my mail, right? So I click delete. And, like, the little trash can symbol opens up. And the message, like, crumples into the trash can. And I'm like, what the frick? Like,
it's so
like,
unnecessary.
You guys animated
but it was,
all that?
It was
like,
cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. It's like, we need more things like that that just blow our minds. Because we were like, oh, well, what if, you know, you turn it sideways, right? And the screen will shift to a horizontal view. And you were like, well, what if you turn it the other way? It's like, we turn it the other way. And it's like, whoa, it works for that way. It's like, what about upside down? Does it work upside down? Like, oh,
nope.
No. Dang it.
So we're taking them back, because if you can't use them upside down, then, you know, what's the point?
When I was out with Tim for dinner, he had ordered, like, a Dr. Pepper, okay? And he would taste it, and he's like, does this taste like cherry Coke to you? Or was that what it was? Cherry
yeah,
Coke?
Yeah, it tasted
and
like
I tasted
Coke.
It, I was like, yeah, it tastes a little weird, maybe. So when the guy comes back around, Tim's got his arms folded. He's got his arms crossed, and he points to his drink. He's like, can you get me a different one, please? It doesn't taste right.
Yeah, but you don't understand how often this happens. This is old news to me.
To see you say something like, I'm going to take my iPhone back, or your iPod Touch is like, okay, yeah, more than like, can I have a different iPod Touch, please? Yeah. Same, like, just the way you crossed your arms and pointed out with one hand. It's like...
And then you had to check
no
back.
No expression like, change. You know, you're just like... straight face, just like, if you don't change, I'm gonna kill you, basically. No. So yeah, we've been playing around with our wonderful new devices, and I've been getting just blown away by the iPhone. Tim is having so much fun with his iPod Touch, and so with it, you know, we downloaded a couple of games and started playing them, and it kind of occurred to us that this is a pretty legitimate gaming platform.
Yeah, you know, I'd always been really skeptical, I think, because... honestly, there's no buttons. There's no usable buttons for the game. And
yeah.
like, how do you, I mean,
how
yeah,
would you play Tetris on right. your iPhone? How would that even work?
And there's a few games that would be like, yeah, you know, a monkey ball should work for this game. And right. there's certain games that you're like, yeah, that makes sense. But how are you going to do, like, a first-person shooter? Or how are you going to do, like, yeah, Tetris, something where you need that kind of twitch control? And I think my skepticism was maybe misplaced, right?
Yeah, that was totally. I mean, I was playing Tetris for a while, and I'm like, okay, let's see how these controls work, you know? And they worked great. I mean, it took me, a couple minutes to really fully get used to it. But I was like, wow, I can play Tetris. And it's a really awesome-looking version of Tetris 2. It's got some cool graphics, and I'm like, this is pretty sweet. This is nice.
Yeah, and I'd say, I mean, really after, like, 30 seconds, you kind of had it down. And
yeah.
The learning curve is not that steep, and it's very intuitive. It's just, we're just like, how does this work? How are you going to do this? But, you know, you just tap anywhere on the screen, rotates a piece. That's easy. You know, you flick down it hard, and that puts the piece down, and
Just
real intuitive controls, and maybe it's not quite as it's not going to be a tournament edition of Tetris or anything, but
right,
it definitely works, and you don't feel handicapped by it. And what got me thinking about it before I even got the iPod Touch. On the plane ride over here, I pulled out Phantom Hourglass on the DS, and I got right up to the last guy like 9 months ago, whenever that was, and never really finished. That's the story of my life, right? And
yeah, but all the star characters in Mario Baseball, no problem.
I know.
I'll just breeze right through those, says Tim.
I think I have video game ADD or something. And I don't know what it is. But I started playing it and, you know, kind of remembering the controls and how it works. And I'm like, wait a second. This is all touch-based, basically. Mm-hmm. There's really... So when you think of that, you know, that's an awesome game. Done correctly... touch controls can work for, you know, that's a pretty classic franchise right there, you know?
Yeah.
So I think done right, you know, the iPhone can really have some awesome games for it that make it a legitimate contender in some ways to, you know, the handheld platforms.
It's pretty incredible. And for me, my biggest problem was, like, I don't think there's enough buttons on here. You know, yeah. There's like a volume button and like a sleep button, and it's like, well, maybe they can utilize those, but how am I going to pause the game? And then it finally occurred to me while I was playing a game, like, they just put a pause button on the touch screen somewhere, and then you just touch it. It's like, duh. You can make any extra buttons you want on the screen, and the screen is huge enough that you have lots of room to work with, too. Like, you don't feel cramped like most cell phones.
Well, and it's multi-touch, so...
Yeah, and it's bigger than a DS screen. It has higher quality as well, so it's not... this big pixelated fest of any kind.
What's interesting to me is, you know, mobile phones in general don't make great gaming systems, but there's plenty of buttons on a typical cell phone, right?
Yeah.
The problem is, typical cell phones, you can't push two buttons at the same time
and
have them work. So that's why the controls on most games are so dumbed down on mobile phones, because, you know, you even though you have all these buttons at your disposal, you're really limited to what you can do with them. Whereas on the iPod Touch or the iPhone, even though you have no buttons, essentially, the fact that you have multi-touch on the screen gives you so much more control over how you want to, you know, how the gameplay works. So kind of interesting that the buttons don't really make much of a difference in that sense.
I mean, it's pretty interesting to me. And it's too bad this has gone under our radar for so long.
Yeah, really.
I think it's just, there's not very many people that have iPhones to me. You don't see it very often. You know, I'm going to see a Razer a lot more than I see an iPhone, clearly. So it's not until you really sit down with one that's most likely your own, probably, and start messing around with it, you're like, wow, this is pretty cool. And there's a lot of free apps on it, too. So you can download lots of games for free instead of just buying them.
Yeah, there's a lot of... what's nice is there's a lot of light versions or free versions of... paid games, so it's kind of like a demo system, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I downloaded that Bee game, you know, that was like the Dizzy Bee or something like that, and it basically just tilt controls. You're tilting the bee around to collect flowers, but it's a cool game with a nice style, and you know, you get the free version, you get like 10 levels or something, and then, you know, if you like it enough for $5, you get 100 levels, you know, and so but there are a few decent full games that are free, I think, but but mostly, you know, you're gonna have to pay for them.
Right. And I guess the thing for me is that the fact that I now have like a video game system with me at any time is pretty huge. Because originally, like I told you, I was like, I think the biggest thing I'm gonna love is that I no longer have to carry my phone and my iPod. They're just one device.
Right.
Well, now it's like, I don't have to carry my phone, my iPod, and my DS. It's like, they're all one device. It's like, that's pretty sweet. It's nice that that's no longer like my only option.
Well, and honestly, like, you're not going to carry your DS around with you everywhere you go.
Right, it's only like specific times, or yeah, oh, I'm going to go play Mario Kart with somebody. And
well, and for me, it's like, if I'm going on a trip or something, then yeah, I'll bring my DS. Or if I know I'm going to be waiting at the doctor's office for 2 hours, you know.
Right.
Then so it's like, if you can plan ahead, then that's fine. But there's plenty of times where you don't plan ahead, and it's like, oh, I'd like to whip out a game or something and just play for a few minutes. And you can, you know, legitimately do that now without a second system in your hand.
So maybe this is the time that Nintendo starts teaming up with Apple, right? All those rumors.
Yeah.
It happened.
There's absolutely no factual basis for those rumors, but I mean, it would be pretty sweet. I just don't think it'll ever happen. So.
Well, I guess that'll take us to Comic Talk.
Yeah, that was a fun one this week, don't you think?
Yes, the Fundamental Theorem of War.
Yes.
You know, this was kind of a mess at first because we were talking about doing a completely different comic.
And, yeah.
We were trying to talk about how we would work that one, and I'm really glad I did this because at some point I just told Tim, like, I'm just not feeling it, and I don't think it's very funny, and, like, let's just do something else.
And
we were getting pretty far into the development process of it, and I was just like, no, it's over.
Yeah, we were pretty set on doing that one, and I think there's
something
still
there that we need to figure out. Yeah. Yeah,
we have a month before it's too late to do that one. I think we can do that one. But while we were talking about that one that we're not doing, I kind of had this idea of the Geometry Wars one, and I just kind of didn't say anything for a while we're talking about it in this conversation, and then you're just like, let's just shut this one down, it's not gonna work, you know. I'm like, well, okay, that's fine, because I have this other idea, and I really didn't know what you'd think of it, and you're like, I love it, let's do it.
Yeah, like, oh, it's like you told me, it's like, oh, you're gonna play Calculus Wars, you know, and or one of us will, and then like you're gonna get angry because it's just more complicated than Geometry Wars because everyone hates calculus. And it's like, oh, you could say some funny line that's math related. And I kind of laughed. I'm like, that's funny. That makes me laugh. Let's do it. Let's figure it out. So then it just became a process of, well, let's make sure our math joke is funny. You know, and like, I don't know much about calculus, so send me all the info you can so I can draw these pictures and make them right.
And I haven't thought about calculus in, you know, a few years now since I graduated from college. And so I really had to kind of recall all that stuff and Google it. I'm like, oh yeah, theorems and differential equations and integrals. And so then it was just a matter of, you know, getting a joke and
I was doing the image of Geometry Wars, or I'm sorry, Calculus Wars, mostly in Photoshop. This is like the first comic where I've done a frame almost completely in Photoshop
because of the effects, right?
Yeah, it was like just lots of blur effects and lighting stuff, and I'm like, this is just a lot easier to manipulate in Photoshop than Illustrator. So and it was also pretty funny because then you send me an email, you're like, oh, maybe like over the course of your multiple frames for Calculus Wars you could have this happen. Like, oh, I'm doing multiple frames of it, like I'm sticking with one, dude. This is enough for me.
Lazy.
Yeah, because it's, yeah, so, and I, like, part of the problem is I've never played Geometry Wars, so it's a hard line for me to walk, because I'm like, I have to do this right, I have to have things represent other things correctly for the most part, and eventually I kind of went half and half a little bit, where I'm like, you know, I'm just going to throw some items in here and just, you know, just make it its own thing.
Well, there was definitely more calculus references we could have put in that panel, like, I think somebody was mentioning in the comments that, oh, you should have had, you know, imaginary numbers and this and that, and it got, but we didn't, we wanted them to look enough like some sort of creature possibly, and not like a bunch of numbers and letters floating around, you know what I mean?
I don't know, I mean, that might have worked too.
I don't know how that, it would have looked too much like math on a piece of paper with, you know, on
acid. But I think that's part of the thing, like, if you see numbers, if you see, like, calculus problems, you know, I am afraid of those, okay? Like, I think most people see those and, like, I don't want to have to solve this. I mean, that's people's natural reaction. for me at least.
Right.
So
yeah,
it's like, if you're to see that screen, you see all those numbers and stuff, and it's like, oh, that looks like a hard game. You know, like
right.
that's I guess that's what I kind of originally saw in the comic that made me laugh, was it's like, it's like, oh, as if this game wasn't hardcore enough, they had to make it even more difficult with calculus.
Right. Yeah, I guess it would have been difficult to mix the two, like having them look like creatures that you'd be killing.
Mm-hmm.
And having math on the screen. But yeah, I guess it could have worked one way or the other.
And this is unfortunately one of those comics where I basically reused most artwork from a different comic. Like our Ikaruga comic, I went back and kind of pulled the images of us sitting there playing the game. And then I kind of added more. Like I added me holding my head and I changed the shadowing to be the light outline, stuff like that. So it wasn't a total rip, but it is funny to see like the comments like, hey, you know, nice detail in the Wii. I'm like, thanks, I did that months ago. I'm just reusing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like every once in a while, I feel like I have the ability to take older artwork because it's like, well, this is kind of a set joke series in a way where we're playing something from the TV as a regular thing. And I haven't done that for a few weeks, so now it's okay sort of thing. Like if I were doing this every week and just pulling old artwork, you know, the same scene of us sitting at the couch, it's like, okay, this is getting old. But every once in a while, it's nice to go back. I think sometimes people like to see those reoccurring images. Instead of something brand new every time, but it's a balance.
Well, and you use it when you want to make the joke as funny as it can be. And if that requires new artwork, then that's what we do. And
right.
You've made so many new characters, you know, throughout the course.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, yeah, sure. I mean, like...
Well, I guess make character... make... new character, not, I guess when I think of new characters, I think of like new people for us to talk with, or
no, I'm talking like anytime we do a theme of a game, it's like you have to draw Mario, you have to draw Pac-Man. Yeah, that's really easy, but you know what I mean. A bad example.
Oh, the Tetris, Tim, I don't know blocks. If I can finish this week, man. Oh, the triangle is killing me.
Straight line Tetris block. No, but you know, like Altair for Assassin's Creed.
Right.
Crash, you know.
Snake was the worst of them all. I'm like,
Snake,
oh
yeah,
all that freaking detail in his suit. Ugh.
So there is quite a bit. I mean, no one's going to accuse you of using the same three panels week to week and just changing the text, right? I mean, that doesn't happen. With every great comic comes great comments, and this
right.
week's suggestion box was no different.
My suggestion box goes to Strawberry Chan, who says, well, I've been reading Two Piece Start for quite a while now, but I've never attempted a comment. Well, starting now, I'm going to change that for two reasons. Number one, I went back and listened to the whole archive of podcasts. At first, I thought it would be like blah, 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 then I clicked here. I never should have doubted you. Your podcast was quite possibly the funniest thing I've ever heard. My favorite was the Sonic and the Black Doom edition. I had to pause several times just to breathe between bouts of laughing. Never have I seen two people's personality work together so well. Number two, this comic is simply wonderful. It really captures the flavor of Geometry Wars, and the visuals are spot on, right down to the warped grid. Seriously, you guys deserve this cake. GLaDOS has baked it. Well, thank you, Strawberry Chan. Very kind.
Yeah, that was pretty nice.
If a little naive, maybe.
Well, I mean, it's always nice to hear, you know, new people that are not just checking in on the comic, but actually listening to the podcast, because I think it's clear the podcast audience is obviously not nearly as large as the comic audience, because...
What?
Yeah, what? I mean, obviously, like, joystick webcomic wrap-up people are going to just check out the comic week to week, but they're not going to maybe sit down for 30 minutes and listen to our podcast, you know?
Right.
So they ought to have a joystick podcast.
Podcast, role. Yeah. That would
so
be
everyone
hard,
has
though.
To listen
that
would... to 10
oh
half-hour podcasts and then vote. That'd be awesome. But no, thank
yeah,
you.
So again, if you guys have never commented before and you like what we're doing, rise from your graves and tell us. Rise up. Comment. Come out from the darkness.
But Ray will only choose your comment if you say, like, the nicest thing ever.
No, be honest.
But it's true, though. We don't really pick comments that are like, TCG, guys, terrible comic. You know?
Yeah, I mean, we're not exactly... Well, I mean, we will pick stuff that harks on us if we think it's funny enough. Maybe.
Sure. Yeah, it's
or
more
if
about
they have some
funny.
Merit to it, you know. If it's like, man, my sister fell down, so now I hate your comics. It's like, okay. No. So what's your funny, clever, and creative comment, Tim?
Yeah, mine goes to, I believe it's Fluffy who says...
I mean, how would I know?
How would you know? Well...
We're in the same place this time, so I have to send him his own files.
Yes.
I just kind of realized we're still in the same house, but I still thought you were kind of in California for a little bit here.
Well, my Fluffy Panda said, for a moment there, I thought I was reading XKCD, but with much better art. Note, this is the highest praise that can be offered to any webcomic. Incidentally, I think that while a firm grasp of calculus is not integral... to the understanding of this strip, it does tend to help. Otherwise, you might end up thinking it's just a little derivative.
Oh!
Three math jokes in one sentence. Wow. And then comes the tumbleweed, which was very, very nice. And he says, I'll get my coat. It's the long white one with the scientific calculator in the pocket. That was nice. Great. I mean, he managed to be funny and give us high praise there all at the same time. And I will say that the comic did make me think of XKCD, because obviously there's a lot of math jokes in there and, you know, nerdy science jokes and stuff like that. And that's not what we're going to do week to week, but it kind of just worked in this sense. And since I do have a math background, I think that works too.
So, Tim, since you've been on this trip, what are some of the most wonderful things that you've enjoyed doing so far? With me, that is.
Well, I will say that Shadow the Hedgehog was quite enthralling.
Yes.
Ray had
that's the thing, is when you watch Sonic Unleashed, you know, trailers and stuff, and you're like, it doesn't look very good to me.
Oh, now
like,
it looks awesome.
I'm like, dude, you need to play Shadow the Hedgehog.
I'm sold. Okay? I'm sold on Sonic Unleashed. I'm buying it. I'm waiting in line day one just to wash the taste out of my mouth that Shadow the Hedgehog left. That game was so atrocious. And first you showed it to me a little bit, right?
No, I just gave the controller to you, and I'm just like, here's the intro movie, go for it.
Yeah, well, yeah, so we watched the intro movie, which was bad enough, and
it was
kind of long,
over,
and then Ray's like, just so you know, this is the best part of the game. And I'm like, oh, really funny, Ray, but he wasn't kidding. It really was, and... Man, the controls are so bad. He was sliding around everywhere. And,
picking up guns.
Yeah.
You're supposed to run really fast and stop. And you, like, if you run into aliens, get hurt. If you run into humans, you get hurt. If you run to the edge of a ledge, you stop and do, like, your whoa, I'm about to fall
but
off
you can't
animation.
Jump.
You can't jump from it. So you have to, like, walk towards the screen and then jump off. So it's like you jump and then move forward, but it only registers the move forward part. So you just fall off. It's like,
yeah.
Come on.
And then there's just so many annoying... Who was this stupid bee?
Charmy the Bee.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, Shadow! I need you to find the secret disc!
What's the secret disc? It's like, it's right in front of you, you idiot.
And then you pick it up, it doesn't say anything.
And it's not secret either, it's just sitting there.
it's sitting out in the open.
Around.
It's in the middle of the patch. That's the other thing I hate, is like, oh, you're supposed to collect these items, but they could be anywhere. Like, you can't just, you know, go through the level hoping to see it in a shrine or something, because it could just be floating behind a barrel. You have no clue.
Well, and then the funny thing was, then you popped in, was it Sonic Adventure 2 Battle?
Yes.
And that game was made, like, what, 4 years earlier?
Yeah.
And the graphics were, like, three times as good?
Yeah.
So just,
it was a Dreamcast game.
Dreamcast game, yeah.
I mean, that's basically the Dreamcast game. There's not many differences there.
Right, it's not like they redid all the visuals or anything.
No, it's basically the same thing. I think there's little tiny enhancements, like maybe his hands or something. I don't remember exactly, but yeah, and it was like Shadow looks cooler. Like everything's a lot more fun. And of course, the problem there was that I was showing you the game, and I loved that game to death, so I was just racing through it. You know, where maybe you were to get frustrated by the controls, possibly. But
yeah, but
you started to see the problem because I showed you like Robotnik style of level where you like select enemies and shoot at them. And
yeah.
You're like, well, that's not a Sonic game.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
The problem, though, is... I'm like, that's the problem, is this is where it all kind of started with Sonic Adventure. They started adding in, like, oh, let's have Big the Cat do fishing. And then people are like, oh, I want to see all these characters with all their different styles, and it's just gotten out of hand ever since.
They should just go back to Sonic. Nobody else. No other playable characters.
Not Charmy? You don't want Charmy the Bee?
Well, maybe Charmy. Okay, well, let Charmy and Big the cat, and see, that's where it starts. Everyone does that. Oh, let's just Tails. No,
okay, just
Ruse.
Just E-102, the robot. Oh, but he died. Okay, well, E-10,000.
Spoiler alert.
Which is a name, by the way. E-10,000. I'm not kidding about that. But what else? Did you enjoy Speed Racer or Walk-Off?
Speed Racer was fun, yeah. Some parts were really stupid. That theater was cool, though. Ray brought me to the cheap theater where they actually take out, like, 2 out of every 3 rows and put tables there. And you can order food in the theater, and they bring it to you, and kind of a laid-back environment. Yeah. It was pretty fun. The pizza was really good. And
I mean, Speed Racer's been out for a long time, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's been out forever, and it's been at the cheap theater forever. Mm. And, like, it was a packed audience.
It was, yeah.
I'm like, I've never seen so many people in an audience before, and it was mostly kids, unfortunately. But you know, even the kids weren't laughing at the stupid kid and the monkey, so you knew there was problems with those characters.
Sure, yeah.
It's like, oh. But, yeah, It was fun. And they even, that theater's kind of funny because you can, there's specific showings for people over 21, so you can actually have alcohol when you watch a movie. And
yeah, that's interesting. And then not have to listen to the children.
Right, exactly. Of course, all the people drinking become the children.
Yeah.
Oh, that was hilarious.
That monkey is funny. Yeah. I'm telling
they'll
you.
They'll all start laughing at the Speed Racer crap. But I enjoyed playing Brawl last night with,
Jessica Bariga and Kevin Bariga.
Yeah. That was, you know, my Brawl experiences have been not great, because I really don't enjoy the Subspace Emissary very much. And, you know, you and I played online a bit, but online's not nearly as good as local multiplayer. And I just don't have a core group of Brawl fans that... You know, I live near.
Yeah, that you can play with every couple days.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was fun to take part of. I mean, I knew I wasn't going to be, you know, nearly as good as you guys. But
well, you were playing it safe. You're kind of staying away, sort of.
Yeah, I just figured I'd be strategic about it. So
throwing your bombs as Link and playing it safe.
So I think I normally was like second place because
yes, I was usually the first to go.
I would just hold on and just. Run away from everybody and throw bombs and stuff as long as I could. And then by the time there's only one person left standing, I still had like 2 lives.
Yeah.
And that still didn't matter though, because once it went to 1-on-1, it was like, oh man, I'm not going to hold my own here. So.
And we saved 2 hilarious replays that were so funny. I mean, one of those, I was laughing so hard. Even Jessica was like, I haven't seen you laugh that hard in a long time, right? It's like, Brawl is funny. Like,
it's just fun,
like,
yeah. Really
I just have
fun.
A blast playing Brawl with people because just the funniest stuff happens and you just have to be in the know to understand it. So it's nice to have people who understand it well enough to be able to laugh with me.
Right.
So yeah, great. So yeah, I'm glad you finally got to enjoy like a good Brawl experience. It's too bad we can't play like that more often.
Well, I was going
to
say, it's too bad that's probably the only... enjoyable Brawl experience I'll ever have because
I'm
gonna go home and I'm just gonna let it sit there.
And if I visit you for E4ALL, then I won't have Jessica and Kevin to play with us. So
well, Sarah can play. No, never mind.
No.
So yeah, all in all, I think we did a lot and had a good time and yeah.
Well, cool. I guess you know what time it is, right?
Let me look out the window. Hold on.
Which, by the way, was it a joy seeing Black Doom and Shadow the Hedgehog?
Yeah, that was quite interesting. He was pretty horrible. What does he have, like 3 eyes or something?
Yeah, he has 3 red eyes. Alien yeah. Eyes.
I just love how Shadow, he tells Shadow, you need to do this for me. He's like...
Yeah, it's like... he shows up, he's like, bring me the 7 Chaos Emeralds as promised. And Shadow's like... How do you know me and who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, and then he disappears. He's like, that was strange. Well, he obviously knows who I am, so I better do what he says. It's like, come on! It's like the weakest story effort ever.
Yeah, they put 0 effort into that. It was,
and then it's like, at the end of the level, he's like, oh, you disobeyed me. Like, don't underestimate my power, and like, slaps you and you transport to a different world to fight in your next area. It's like, whoa, where am I now? It's like, I don't know, that was our best story effort. We'll just teleport you to the next place without having any reason at all. Well, I guess there must be an emerald around here. God.
Yeah, pretty sad. So, speaking of Black Doom.
Yes, the clouds have rolled over. It is time for the haunted and dreaded Black Doom Award. That was good.
I know.
I felt like I was actually holding this game. Each week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the worst character Sonic Team has ever created. Patrick Mac the Echidna. I mean, Black Doom. Well, my Black Doom Award goes to the new rating system for video games in Germany.
Well, I see this box art, and the first thing I thought was, they're making a SpongeBob SquarePants Drawn to Life video game.
Okay, ignore the game.
Well, I thought that was your Black Doom. I saw the picture, I'm like, oh, you're right. There's no way they should do that. And now you're not even talking about it. Man.
No! This is, you can see the screenshot in the podcast feed if you're listening to the M4A version right now, but they have a new rating system. It's a huge diamond that takes up nearly a quarter of the entire box art. Like, it's literally covering more than half of SpongeBob himself. It's like, is this
the main character of the game?
And there's not, it's like, it's all this unused space too. It's like got this huge border around it.
Yeah, what's with that border?
And you see USK at the bottom, and then it's like, oh, and then in tiny little text, it tells you what it said, like what's in it, basically. And it's like, come on, like, is that really that necessary? Like,
at least the ESRB just thinks there's one big letter, so you can look at it and you know what the rating is. And
maybe I just need to know German to understand what it's saying, perhaps, and it'd make more sense, but it's like, it's still huge. It's huge.
Yeah, is that on the box? It can't be on the box art, do you think?
Oh, I think it is.
Like, it's not just a sticker on the packaging on the outside?
It's gotta be. I can probably guarantee you it's on the box art. Like, it's part of the picture.
That's... I wouldn't want to buy the game just because of that, you know? Even if I wanted that game. I'm like, that's like having a greatest hits version of the game where they shrink the real box art and they have this huge border around it and it says greatest hits. You know, like,
it's like the Okami like box art where they have a symbol on the, well, besides the IGN watermark, but they have like a, oh, it was rated 9.5, like, as part of the box art. I hate that stuff. I hate stickers on things. Like I hate finding cameras and it has like a YouTube sticker on it. People don't take it off. That stuff bugs me. I'm like, take that off.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like when we were watching Last Comic Standing, they start advertising for the Olympics.
Oh my goodness.
It's like, come on. Like, let me just watch the show I wanted to watch.
Yeah, as if it's not enough that there's going to be commercials, you know.
And then they're going to draw stuff out.
Every 3 minutes, there's a commercial break, right?
Like literally, in the show, he literally was like, oh, and don't forget, tomorrow is the start of the Olympics. Let's give a big hand. Like, to the Olympics? Why are we applauding for the Olympics in the show?
Well, and then he went to Howie, and he says, so, I hear you're having a new season of Deal or No Deal. It's like, this is part of the show. What does this have to do with Last Comic Standing?
I thought maybe Howie was going to talk about, like, Last Comic Standing, and so, I'm out of here.
Anyway, so
we hate it when Steph starts taking over the actual product, I guess is the bottom
the
line
overall,
there.
That's the
Black Doom Award, and essentially the Germans are not helping.
Well, my Black Doom Award goes to, I guess it's EA, for the Dark Knight video game. Which...
Oh, right, yes.
Surprise, surprise, there is
See,
a Dark
See, when you said
Knight
Dark Knight,
game.
I thought you said Dark, like, Dark... or Black Knight from Sonic. I'm like, EA's making Sonic and the Black Knight? What's happening to me?
Yeah. No, that would be okay.
Yeah, because it'd never be released, right?
Yeah. But this... I don't understand them. Okay, first of all, fastest movie to $400 million in history. There's a video game that will be released alongside it. Oh, wait, not alongside it, but sometime down the road. The speculation is that they didn't know that Dark Knight would do so well, and so they didn't want to rush the game, you know, to make it crappy and just happen to come out on the same day.
And I can applaud that.
And I can applaud not releasing it just for the quick buck.
Quality, yeah, quality reasons.
Yeah, we want to see the quality, but regardless, if it's not done, fine. Can you at least tell us that you're making this game? Because Gary Oldman had to let us know that there actually was a Dark Knight video game, and it's kind of sad when one of the actors accidentally spills, you know, the beans on the video game version of the movie that he's in, right?
Right. It seems to me like, I mean, this was happening. I mean, the movie came out about the same time as E3, correct?
Yes, E3. That isn't that big video game conference.
Well, they don't do big game announcements for E3 anymore, right?
Oh,
yeah. There's different events for that when people aren't paying attention, I guess. But yeah, it's like, okay, for E3, right when Dark Knight's coming out, you can at least show some stuff or mention it that you're making it, so people can at least look forward to it in some way. I mean, that would seem like a good combination right there.
Yeah, a trailer or something.
Like,
I mean,
hey, you know that Dark Knight movie you really want to watch right now? Well, there's a cool game coming out. Look forward to it.
Right. And, you know, I guess Michael Pachter estimates that it's going to cost the company $100 million by not, you know, releasing the game on time or even announcing it. And I can see that, but it's not that the game can't be successful. If they really do a good job with it, you know, The Dark Knight is going to have some really lasting effect on people. It's not like Speed Racer, you know, where once you've seen the movie, you kind of forget about it and you don't really have any desire to buy the game.
Right.
Dark Knight's going to stay with people. It's an awesome movie. People are going to buy the DVD or the Blu-ray.
I don't know. It wasn't that good.
Stop it.
No, I'm kidding.
It was that good.
It was.
And it's Batman, of course, you know, so
yeah.
There have been Batman games before and people, you know, like the superhero stuff. So, I still think the game can be successful, but can you just release some information, please? A trailer, just some details on what this game is going to be like? Because, you know, it was a mistake to not release it. It was a mistake to not have it at E3. But it's still a mistake until the day you actually announce something, you're making a mistake. So let's reverse that here, you know?
Well, you know what's going to happen? They're going to announce it. It's going to be called The Dark Knight, Chop Till You Drop.
Yeah. It's only for the Wii. And you play as the Joker, and you hold the Wii remote up to somebody's... No, that's not a spoiler for anybody.
Yeah, spoilers.
Spoiler alert. Sonic's in Brawl.
Well, that'll do it for this edition of 2-Piece Start Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic, and every Monday for a brand new podcast, just like the one you heard here. Better.
Way better.
Not that good. With that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We will see you next week from different states.
Yep. See you later, Ray.
Bye, Tim. Have a safe trip.
Thanks. Thanks for being a good host.
Thank you. We'll watch as many Sonic episodes as you want.
Bye-bye.
With every great comic comes well, with every comic comes
not every comic, just the great ones.
Just the